flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Good job, good effort out of the Bruins last night. Very solid performance. They tied it up early in the third, Keith. They were looking good. Shorty.
They did. Actually, it was a great quote. Our guy Sacco, he of the Sacco Sai, he said after the game, well, for 41 minutes, we played okay.
We've had a couple of good comments out of him lately.
Yeah, I think he's really feeling the effects of what it's like to actually coach this team. The last two guys actually were pretty successful and both got blown out of there because players couldn't handle it.
Correct.
And so now he's like, oh, wait a minute. This is not a great job.
He had the Sacco side the other day, and now he's like, oh, we're okay for 41 minutes.
41 minutes, we're okay.
I think he's had a couple of good comments or good ways to kind of summarize the whole Bruins experience.
I mean, they tied the game with a shorthanded goal to start the third period. You're like, okay, we got ourselves a game. Turns out we did not, as Winnipeg scored 3 goals in about 3 minutes. Well, next thing you know, the thing was over.
Brad Marchand, let me check Brad Marchand's ice time last night.
How do you do?
I know he spent what felt like the entire night in the penalty box.
He was there a few times.
Let me just check his ice time. Brad Marchand for ice time last night was at 14:38, which surprises me.
Seems light.
I thought he was just in the penalty box. He took three different trips there. Yeah. He was there to start the third period last night where the Bruins tied it without him on the ice.
That's right.
And then Winnipeg took the lead back without him on the ice and blew the game wide open with 4 goals in the third period. Bruins lose again, and they lose at home.
Winnipeg's
one
their
place
number.
Where they had played well. I would
don't play Winnipeg anymore, which is a good thing.
Let me do the math again. 14-3 in favor of Winnipeg in 2 games.
Oh no.
I would say, yeah, that's not.
This one was
that's not having Winnipeg's number. Winnipeg has your number.
It's the other way around. Yeah, so Winnipeg's really fingers crossed. They're like, let's get the Bruins in the cup final, and then that's who we'll get. I know some think that they could go on a run.
Some.
They could go on a light, nice long run. They're kind of primed for a run.
One thinks that.
One Nesson insider.
Yeah.
Used to be on our show, no longer on our show.
Check out the Razor.
Yeah.
WEEI afternoons at 4:30 every Thursday.
Yeah, you move times on us.
That's the Bruins.
Razor, Bruins, Marchand.
All one of them.
However you want to say. I'm sorry.
Schedules.
I am feeling bad for Sacco.
Yeah.
Sacco didn't ask for any of this.
No.
This is unfair to him.
Oh, the poor guy's just.
But.
Sighing left and right.
They were a decent home team, though. Even during all of this,
yes.
The issues that they had, they were getting points and winning games at home. And then last night, not the case. You're seeing some of the other teams win around you. We keep pointing out like the weird schedule in the NHL. The Bruins have played more games than just about everybody. So it's always misleading when you'd look at the standings and you'd say, all right, they're a playoff team, but this team, and this team have played 3 fewer games. Well, now you wake up this morning, they're not even in the playoffs. even with all the extra games played, they're on the outside right now.
They're a point behind both Columbus and Tampa. Columbus has two games in hand. Bruins, two games out of hand.
Yeah, right.
Tampa has three games in hand. Bruins, three games out of hand. And they're already trailing those teams. Never mind the teams behind them that also have games in hand against the Bruins. The Red Wings have two. The Islanders have three.
And only 11 games before the trade deadline. It's pretty late in the year now. I guess this Four Nations thing throws it off. So that's like a two-week roster freeze that comes,
It's a February? Roster freeze. Yeah. No transactions can happen, but I imagine there's a lot of conversations that happen in those 2 weeks.
Probably some good chatter.
Probably.
Yeah. What are you guys doing? You want to trade any players? So what do they have? Four games, I think, until the break. So tomorrow afternoon, they play the Rangers home, and then they're home against Minnesota. Then they're at the Rangers, then they're home to Vegas, and then they're off for two straight weeks. We've seen other teams around the league starting to make some moves. National media members are talking about maybe a Brad Marchand trade, especially if they're on the other side of it. Cam Neely himself, so forget about like media members. I know our guy Sad Marchand doesn't care about the media. Cam Neely said a week and a half ago that they might have to retool.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of based on where they are in the standings. Well, right now, they're not a playoff team. So what do you think Cam Neely's going to want to do?
I'd agree with something Greg said this morning, too. You know, Cam softened it by saying retool. He doesn't want to say blow it up or rebuild or anything like that.
I think it means the same thing.
Well, those are the words I would use for it because I think they're more accurate. But retool is a nice way of saying we need to blow this thing up. So we'll get to your thoughts on it, 617-779-7937. One comment in the Twitch chat that caught my eye.
Yeah, what do you got?
Twitch.tv/BostonWE. Yeah, this was a few moments ago. I believe it was Poor Baller in the Twitch chat, not to be confused with Clappy Cheeks 10.
Different people, you think.
They were complaining about our lack of conversation about Drake May and the Pro Bowl last night.
What?
The Pro Bowl games.
I got it in the grab bag if you wanted to wait for the grab bag.
Oh, good. That's in there.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay, good.
That's the stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program.
Well,
but if this guy wants to talk about Drake May.
Sir,
the Pro Bowl was on last night?
The Pro Bowl games.
Well, not the sort of QB challenge. He finished last.
Well, hang on. Grab bag.
That is a spoiler for grab bag.
There was like trivia involved in it and everything. Look, we're not going to not talk about it.
They played Stratego.
It's a very great
game. The 10 seconds I watched, there was a spiking competition.
Nice.
You know who would lose?
Mahomes. I was thinking the
he
exact same thing.
He was not great at it.
Would not do well. That's true.
Spiking competition. Did you get a winner on that, Bill? Or did you?
I did not. No. Okay. Like I said, I watched for 30 seconds. It was almost like it was the old school carnival game where you would whack the hammer and the thing would go up and hit the bell, except it was all digital now.
Yeah.
Here's the ball, and just it kind of gave him like a little square.
It's
like
power.
Yeah, so spike that ball into this area and we're going to gauge it.
So not height, but like velocity.
Yeah.
Got it. You know what?
No, I think the pressure of it hitting the ground, not the speed.
You know, if you leave the ball in the car, the PSI on it's going to decrease.
Yeah. Did you know Aaron Rodgers liked his overinflated?
Actually overinflated.
Did you hear that one?
Mm-hmm. Here's something no one's talking about.
Nobody's talking about it.
Do you know when you get in your car?
Huh? Yeah, I got a buddy of mine who works for a tire factory.
The tire pressure goes down.
Yeah, he puts right up there. Yeah.
Just a touch.
That's great.
Happy put you right up.
Speaking of tire company, season 2 of Tires, the Shane Gillis show, apparently Vince Vaughn's going to be in it.
Nice.
Any idea of a start date?
No, didn't see that yet.
Did you like Vince Vaughn on Curb?
Loved him.
I didn't like him on Curb.
I like Vince Vaughn in everything.
If you ask Keith, if Vince Vaughn,
Vince Vaughn, yes.
Look, I like Vince Vaughn.
Did you watch Bad Monkey?
In most things, I did not.
Incredible. Apple show, he's the star of it, and he's incredible in it.
I'm not anti-Vince Vaughn. I felt he was a little unnecessary in Curb, to be honest.
I feel like he had big shoes to fill. Yeah. It was a little unfair taking him for the Funkhauser.
The Funk Man, yeah.
For the Funk Man, but I think he did the best he could. He can hang, and you know a lot of those scenes obviously are unscripted. I feel like that was a good guy to get.
True.
Because he can do a lot of that stuff.
I like, speaking of Shane Gillis, I like his commercial with Post Malone.
It's pretty funny.
I like that.
That Tire show is awesome.
Did
you watch that?
No.
It's 6 episodes, season 1.
Quick watch.
You can rip it.
It got a poor review by Mego. Mego did.
Really?
Mego said she did not like it. I know we.
It's hilarious.
We questioned her football movie taste.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, but yeah, Mego said that her husband, Mel, enjoyed that show and she didn't like it. Congrats.
It's really funny. And I can't wait for season 2. They announced a whole bunch of like guest stars that are coming on, but Vince Vaughn was the one that jumped out to me.
I'll add it to the queue.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that satisfies our Drake May Pro Bowl conversation there. Everybody complaining about it in the Twitch chat.
So you know what I'm more
confirmed
impressed?
He was there.
Nice.
Good. You know what I'm more impressed by than a good spike of the football?
What's that?
The spin. When guys get up and they get a first down and they spin the ball and spins like forever, you're
you can't be doing that in the end zone. But if you do that, you do that after first down.
After first down, it just stays there.
Really warm your hands on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when the whole team gets around it, fire's hot. That's a good one. 617-779-7937. Let's get to some phone calls here. We got more thoughts on who the Bruins should trade. I think we agree on one name.
Yeah.
Paul is in Blackstone, though, on the Cam Newton comment. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Been a while since I called into the Rich Keefe Project.
Yeah, appreciate it.
One underrated aspect, right? Something for us to think about when you talk about whose career you would have is think about the joy that winning multiple championships, like Robert Horry, the example you gave. Think about the fun that comes with winning all those big playoff games. You win 16 games every year, win a championship. The off season where it sits back behind you, the weight off your shoulders. As a human being going through that experience, does that really get offset by a couple of MVPs or your place on a top 50 all-time list?
It's a good question. I mean, Barkley would know. I would think you also get, 10 All-Star game appearances, which are probably pretty fun, 2 Olympic team experiences. You're on the Dream Team. You're in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, you can check out Keefe's school picture.
Yeah.
It commemorated Charles Barkley. Was he on? He was on one.
He was on one and two, I believe.
Yeah, he was on both.
He was definitely on 92. He got snubbed from 84. Bobby Knight didn't want him. I think he wanted Steve Alford.
Good move.
Didn't take Charles Barkley. But anyway... Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, Robert Horry is also the extreme example there because he won so many on so many different teams.
So we were talking about this off the air, I think, not on, but you brought up Horry before. When Cam says he'd rather have his career than Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson, I agree. Barkley and Horry is closer than that discussion. I'd still take Barkley.
Yeah.
Me too. But that's a closer one because Horry won so many
titles. But like, all right, Barkley.
And he hit massive shots on those championship runs.
Like Barkley or Scal?
Yeah, Barkley.
Scal has great stories to tell. He was on the 08 championship team. He could tell those stories for the rest of his life.
Yeah, but for the purposes of this, Scal isn't even Brad Johnson or Trent Dilfer.
But like to the college point, like he has a ring.
Yep.
And that is ultimately, it's a team game. Yeah, that's the most important thing. But
as Perk said, he had to put on his uniform after the game to come out.
Well, I'm not going there.
I was quoting Perk. I'm not going there. That's what Perk did. I didn't do that. That's Perk.
That was a good feud for a little bit. That kind of died down, huh?
Good beef.
Real good beef.
Yeah. Mm. Got another long-term tease for tears?
No, we're not going to do that right now.
Maria's in Watertown. Hello, Maria.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is the first time I've had the chance to call since Rich aired his so salacious report. And I'm calling to say that I stand with you.
Thank you.
I believe that there's something
many smart
wrong
people do.
Yes.
It upsets some people.
No.
But many
I
smart people do.
Where there's smoke, this fire. I wholeheartedly agree. And I love Brad Marchand like you, Jones. I love him on my team. I love what he brings. But I thought his response was a little too much in my regard, in my opinion. But here's what I want to say to you. We heard the cavalry was coming back with Charlie McAvoy. Coming back in the lineup. How many goals were scored?
That would
night?
Be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six goals there, Maria.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. In two games, they have allowed 13 goals while only scoring 4. We're back to only having one line who seems to have the ability to put the puck in the net. Where have we heard this story before? Now we have David Pastrnak shattering his stick on the cage at the end of the game out of frustration, Marchand barking at the refs and gaining himself a 10-minute game misconduct, the coach making, innuendo about his team's inability to play 60 minutes. This is not a good situation for this team, and they are likely going to be on the outside looking in if this type of play continues.
Okay, it's a good point by Maria.
Great call, great point. Add all that up, as well as Bruin insiders changing shows that they're on. There's a lot going on. Smoke, there's fire.
There is. So she stands with Keefe.
She does.
That gets some people angry, standing with Keefe.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a controversial stance.
Polarizing?
Some places, that's a controversial stance. Yeah, that gets people
what
upset.
What do you think it's at right now? In the immediate aftermath, it was probably 75-25 on Marchand's side.
You think it was that high? I don't think it was
60-40?
That high. 60-40? Yeah. I mean, you were losing, but it was closer to 50. No, but I'm saying.
No, I know.
But it wasn't that out of whack. You had a lot of people riding with
it. Where do you think it's at now?
It's 50-50.
Yeah.
I think people now are looking at it going, yep.
sums up.
Yeah, and she's right about Marchand last night. You know, the three different infractions. He was whining about the officials after the game, which I don't like.
I'm glad you mentioned the Pastrana thing. I forgot about the Pastrana. After the empty netter, I think, where he came skating down and he just like smashed his stick and destroyed it. And you're like, so, I mean, I get being frustrated, but.
And she's right about McAvoy, too. I thought this watching the game, we haven't mentioned this yet today, but it's like all we heard about from some insiders, Thursdays at 4:30, is that this team is missing players on the back end, and like, well, you know, they're down McAvoy and they're down the hamper.
Right, but that's no excuse and even to lose Carlo. To Buffalo, right? No, like when you're losing to some of these bad teams, that's not an excuse.
And there's no excuse for it last night.
Look the way they did. Well, that stretch in the third period is like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So they got their guys back. Now what? So now what's the excuse?
Yep.
So let's keep moving the goalposts.
Thanks for the call, Maria. Very good.
Maybe stop ignoring the real problem on the team. So Brad Marchand was asked about this, among other things, after the game, the trade rumors.
Mm.
You tell me, does this sound like a guy who doesn't expect to be traded? This is Brad Marchand after the game last night on those rumors. Can I hear that, Nick?
Mm. What's Brad up to?
I don't know if he's...
I'm not very worried about what's being said in the media.
Really?
You know, at the end of the day, like I said, they're going to make the decisions for the group that they feel is necessary. You know, I have no control over that, so I'm going to worry about what's going on here and play for this group. And, you know, as long as I'm here, I'm Boston Brown, that's what I'm worried about.
Play here as long as I'm here, you know?
He doesn't pay attention to what's going on in the media.
Definitely doesn't.
No.
Has never called for anybody to be fired.
Not him.
Or anything like that. No, he's not worried about that.
Nope.
Doesn't matter what the media says. Doesn't bother him at all.
The thing that jumps out to me about that comment, number one, that sounds like a guy who... isn't adamant he won't be traded, number one. He's not like, no, it's not happening, I'm here. Number two, he puts a lot of it at the Bruins' feet, which makes sense because he's not in charge of being traded.
No.
Except all these guys have no movement clauses. There are eight teams he can refuse to be traded to. So,
but there's not like a, I'm here,
right.
I'm not going anywhere.
I'm the captain of this team.
We're a point out of a playoff spot.
He's like, well, it's up to them, which is a weird thing to say when you have a lot of control over the situation.
Yeah.
So I'm not forecasting he's getting traded. I absolutely would trade him.
Sure.
I think it would be the right move. I'm not predicting it. I just thought that was, a more wishy-washy answer than I expected out of a guy who should be saying what you just said. Mm-hmm. I'm the captain. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. We're in the playoff race. We're not even thinking about that. He's like, nah, it's up to them. That was an odd answer.
And you can even fall back on, I mean, the last two games have been rough, but it was a good game against Ottawa. It was a really good game against Colorado. Now, I don't think that clearly is sustainable, and it isn't, but if you wanted to spin it that way, and if you're the guy on the team that's saying that, you can talk about how close you are to a play. Like, legit, pull the Andrew Raycroft. Raycroft was more positive about the team than Marchand is, and Marchand's on the team.
Mm.
And yet he was definitely of like kind of more resigned to the fact that, like, I guess... got to see what happens. I'm on the team until I'm not on the team.
So sticking with how Marchand should have answered that.
Yeah.
We're a point out of a playoff spot, guys. Like, we're not focused on the trade deadline right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got bigger things to think about.
A lot of hockey left.
There is. Is there any merit to, I know you and I wouldn't do this, but is there any merit to buying the Bruins adding at the trade deadline? And whether you define that as kind of a hockey trade, we'll trade this guy off our roster for that guy, kind of move things around and try to just mix up the makeup of the room. Or if you're trading picks for players on this year's team to make a run to the postseason, is there merit to that?
So I wouldn't. I just think we've seen 53 games with this team. It doesn't feel like that would even be enough. Now, barring some sort of like unbelievable lopsided trade that you win, which I can't even imagine what it would be, you'd also be trading away minimum your first round pick again. You'd continue to have the worst prospect pipeline in the NHL. So do you want to go down that road? This isn't a team to me that is worth buying on. I think you're setting yourself up. Also, to me, it would really feel like a Don Sweeney trying to save his job type of move.
Well,
where he's like, hey, if I make the playoffs, maybe the Jacobs will look the other way. And if I miss the playoffs, if I trade guys away and we miss the playoffs, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to just save my job. And maybe Neely feels the same way too. Like, no, I don't know.
It would absolutely speak to that. And maybe it's just ownership saying, we got to make the playoffs, so let's go make the playoffs.
So maybe they, that's the order.
And so, yeah, that would be interesting. Never mind you have Chara looming over the whole thing, which we can get more
timing
into with all your phone calls. I think there's merit to it. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't add to this team for the same reasons you just illustrated, Keith. I wouldn't do it. But if you look at it and say they're a point out of a playoff spot, this is Boston. Marchand's at the end of his career. Why don't you buy and try to make a run and fix what's gone wrong so far this year? Add to the lack of talent that I know a lot of you feel that they have.
Well, don't Red Sox it. Don't Heim Bloom it or even Breslow it when you're like, all right, what are you, a buyer or seller? It's like, no, no, no. We made this move.
Neither.
To sort of add over here, but then we subtract it over here. Like, right. Okay, that doesn't help me
and
at all.
You net out missing the playoffs. You don't collect any assets for any of your players in the meantime, and you waste everybody's time. Yeah, don't do that.
No.
Aiden is in Rhode Island. Hello, Aiden.
Hello?
Aiden, hello.
Hello.
Who should the Bees trade?
Marchand.
Okay. We talked about some of the bigger names. Like,
so I'm not.
He said McAvoy.
Oh.
Oh, McAvoy was on his list at the deadline. So I would. I said this a bunch today. I would revisit that in the offseason. That's not a move I would make at the deadline. The obvious one that I think we've honed in on before, Keith, and I think has been suggested before, Trent Frederick is one that you may be able to shop. People may want. He's had a good career before. He's having a very bad
year
now.
I like him, too, but yeah, he's not playing well.
He's an RFA, I think, at the end of the year?
No, he is a UFA.
So, sorry. So, either way, he's up for a contract. Geeky's an RFA. Those are two players you could look at. If you don't want to rip the Band-Aid off with Marchand because that he's your captain, if you don't want to think as big as some of those other names, those are some lesser guys that maybe you could collect assets for. I just don't think that makes enough of a difference.
A lot of guys,
a drastic enough move.
No, it isn't. A lot of their guys are under contract long term, which doesn't mean you can't trade them, but it's just that normal, typical rental type of deal. It's really Marchand, Frederick, and that's kind of it of anybody of consequence.
Again, you have a few Geeky's RFA,
right? So you have you do have a couple of those guys, including we didn't even get a chance to mention this because we were talking about everything else. The was it the fourth goal that was scored by
Lowry,
quote unquote, scored by Winnipeg?
Yeah.
You know what it might have been? I think Mason Lowry was listening to the show. He heard us talking a lot about the wraparound in NHL 94 and NHL 95. He's like, I'll try this.
Makes sense.
Problem.
Yeah.
Tried it on the wrong goal.
Yeah.
He did the wraparound on Korpisalo, which do the wraparound on the other end.
Yeah.
We have a different outcome.
That's like you don't save the basketball on the baseline under your own hoop.
Don't do it.
Similar kind of logic. Don't try the wraparound on your own goal.
But it's been a wild season. There's been some lopsided games. But if you're making a low-light video, like a two-minute video you can put on Twitter, that's making it.
Yeah. It's deflected. They score. Lowry came out in front. And I think Ehlers chopped it off his stick.
Nope. I don't really think so.
No, I didn't chop it off. Really, he kind of just stuffed it in his own goal. Like, you don't see an own wraparound goal very often.
Was it Mark and Medford that called him minus Lowry?
Good name.
That's
you keep scoring on your own net. You're definitely gonna be minus low right.
That one's gonna stick. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. All the issues on the Bruins. What do you do now? The Bruins feel like they're teetering. Maybe they're even way past the point of teetering. You can jump in on this. Plus, why is Daniel Chara here? All that right after Trending with Billy.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I play that for the sole reason of illustrating the kind of move the Bruins could make if they wanted to buy. That's Frank Cervelli. And I'll set this up properly. He was prompted there with the question of who's a dark horse. He had already ticked through like two or three different teams.
Yeah.
You know, the Hurricanes were one of those teams on who's monitoring the JT Miller market and who's most likely to wind up with him. Ultimately, he gets to the Bruins. I don't think he's characterizing them as a favorite by any means. But should the Bruins make that kind of move? I guess I could see people talking themselves into it. I wouldn't.
No, they shouldn't.
I'm at the point where you blow the thing up, even though you need long-term a center, and JT Miller would fit that. I don't know that you need more problem guys in the room based on the whole issue. They're even moving anybody in Vancouver,
right?
Is that he and Pettersson don't get along. But independent of that, I just don't, this team is not worth investing in to me.
They're not. But it is, I guess, better than the alternative of doing nothing, right? So every trade deadline, there's like buy, sell, do nothing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or like, or, you know, even if it's like a minor something here and there, like the Red Sox for a couple of years made transactions, but it was really nothing. They didn't pick a side. So I wouldn't be a fan of it, but it'd be like, all right, they see something I don't. Maybe they go on a run the final 20 games of the year, make the playoffs, and then we're like, hey, that addition really helped. That really sparked things, I guess. But no, I think the best course of action would be to make changes.
Yeah.
You're probably already changing the head coach to start next season. You might change the GM for the first time in years and years and years based on the way things are going. Your captain is, whether you trade him or not, is an unrestricted free agent after this year and in his mid-30s. You're going to have to make a decision on that one. So I think there's going to be a lot of changes anyway. So why not start that process now?
So I agree with that. And if you are someone who wants to buy and add a piece like JT Miller, who you could use, you know, long-term, you need a long-term answer at center. The Bruins don't have that answer. They tried it with Lindholm. He's largely underachieved. Some would say stunk. So if you want to think bigger, you can do that. I just, again, when I say, are they worth investing in? I would go back to, what would you even use to make for a case to invest in this team? I think the one thing you would hear is, well, it's hockey, and teams go on runs. You need to start figuring that out like nowish. If you want to be the St. Louis Blues, they had a months-long run at the end of that year where they got hot, got into the playoffs, stayed hot, carried it all the way through a cup in 2019. Like,
yeah, I don't know what you would say.
You need
I
to
guess...
start, but that's just, that's the sport. That's the same for every single team in the sport.
No, no.
Just about, maybe not the Buffaloes of the world, who you just lost to. But like any team that's in the playoff mix, you can make that case for. You're really making a case for the sport, not for this Bruins team. I don't see a lot of tangible evidence to that makes it worth investing in this specific Bruins team.
I guess the case you would make is you're a point out of a playoff spot, but then the counter would be you're not really a point
you
out.
You have all the games yeah, in hand so working games. Against you.
So like just that sheer number, you would say.
Yeah, you're I guess really like 4, 5, 6 points out of a playoff
feels
spot.
Feels like it. Yeah. Like a lot of people do the points percentage thing, and they break that down and see where they kind of rank. They're a pretty good home team, I guess. But you're like, all right, that clearly hasn't been enough to get you into the postseason at this point. Maybe you say, well, we've had some guys missing time. We think they're coming back. Or, hey, we think Swayman's playing better now than he did at the beginning of the season. I guess would be your stance. I don't know.
So, again, $10 shake. Twitch chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Yeah, you tell me. He says, borderline playoff team, but let's blow it up. Shocking take from Jones.
Well, no, they're looking really good right
so
now.
So what's the case? Because they're a point out of the playoffs. Yeah. You invest in them? Where, again, this is different than baseball, where you have all these games out of hand. In the
True.
Case of the Bruins, give me reasons to invest in the team. I'd like to hear them, other than just, well, it's hockey and anybody can go on a run. Maybe. Not this team.
No.
Not in my estimation.
No.
So you can
no.
jump in on that. Meanwhile, how much trouble do you think Sweeney's in? We've heard a number of fire Sweeney chants at the Garden this year, including last night. Chara is now here. He's brought in as an advisor in the front office and also working with player development and skills.
Yeah, I don't...
So it's like a hybrid role. This might shock you, Keith. Razor said not to read into it at all yesterday.
Oh, he's good with it?
He said, he said don't read into the timing of it, that it's in a stretch run. It's more about his kids and their hockey schedule and things like this.
Nothing to see here with Andrew Razor Raycroft Thursdays.
My antenna is a little more up on that one.
Yeah, the timing's strange.
So I think Sweeney's in trouble independent of Chara being here. And Chara being here, it does make you Liam Cohen style raise an eyebrow.
A little bit.
Because I already thought Sweeney was in trouble. You missed the playoffs. You're the GM and or president, Cam Neely, of the Bruins. I think you're going to be in trouble with, you know, the big guy up in Buffalo there.
Yeah, for sure. Because where things really start to change is if they miss the playoffs, and they're at least tracking towards missing the playoffs. So, and just to circle back real quick, they're 1 point out. But if you do, so that would put them ninth. But if you do point percentage, they're 11th.
Yeah.
So there's even more teams really.
Yeah, there's more teams to leapfrog. And again, you know, if the teams in front of you take care of business, you're going to fall much further behind. Now, maybe they won't. Maybe they lose their next three games. It's possible.
But you don't need
definitely happen.
Three teams to make it in front of you. You only need the one based on where they're at right now.
It's the hardest sport to catch up to because even if those teams lose, they can still get points. And so it's the hardest sport to catch up when you're playing from behind as they have been.
Yeah.
It's why they haven't caught up at all in the standings.
So the Chara thing's pretty, I guess, interesting for now because I don't really know what his end goal is. Like, did he retire and then say, you know what, I want to be a GM or I want to be, like, team president even, or more on, do I want to get involved in coaching? Like, there's a bunch of different front office type jobs that you can have. So, like, if you start as a consultant or whatever it is, it's like, okay, and then where do you go?
Do you think Chara comes, you think he gets hired in January and then by the offseason he's like running the Bruins? I don't think that.
No.
But I think he's here for a reason and maybe has, you know, designs of moving in on that type of role.
And maybe he's another voice. So we assume, all right, the Jacobs really like Cam Neely. And so Cam Neely has been safe for all these different coaches that have been gone and a couple GMs, right? So, and you're like, all right, but if they're going to move on from Don Sweeney, certainly, but even Cam, maybe they want another voice. Not that it's going to be Chara, but does Chara help them with that? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, who do you think would be good to run the Bruins?
So here's what we need, Keith. All right. I need to work on my sourcing game. I need to get in with Zdeno Chara. Because now he's going to be high up with the Bruins.
Hell yeah.
And now
we could use Chara as our guy.
Now we can.
Don't tell anybody it's Chara, use Chara. Yeah,
if I want to get in on the Bruins scoops game, this is what I got to do.
Do you know Chara?
Well, I've seen him running around the Harbor Walk. Maybe I got to go just kind of go like jog up next to him.
Try to take a charge.
It's like Ace Ventura when he's trying to look at the rings.
Exactly. I just got to kind
of. Eventually,
like,
you just got to.
Hey, Big Z, wait up.
He doesn't look like he's moving that fast because he's so big, but he's probably moving so fast. I have trouble catching up.
You got to get the rag with the stuff and just like take him down and talk to him. Yeah, you can do that.
That's what I got to do.
Or he rides bikes too, right? You a big bike guy?
Oh, I'm not a big bike guy, but I've seen him running. I'm sure he's biking so fast. I don't even see that.
Probably
that's the blur going
shape,
by.
Huh?
Yeah, but you're like, who's this giraffe on the horizon out there? And you're like, that's
monster, man.
That's Zdeno Chara.
It's Big Z.
Yeah.
It's Big Z, former captain.
I'll work on that. Now that he's in the Bruins front office, I'll work on that.
That was a good captain.
It was.
That was a good captain.
Meanwhile, you say we get texts like this. Guys, you talk about a rebuild. You have no idea how to do it. You need to rebuild with good players.
Well, let's get some.
We have ideas on how to do it. You trade Marchand. You get your first-round pick and a prospect. And you seem to think that's – I initially poo-pooed that. You seem to think that's very much in play.
Yeah. I guess my other thing would be for the
So you start rebuilding with the prospect and the first-round pick you get for Brad Marchand. What do you mean we have no plan? We have a plan.
That's a big part of the plan. So I guess the question would be for the like the Raycrofts and the don't trade Marchand people, are you signing them to a three-year deal after this season? Or what are you doing? You must be keeping them.
Right. And
like, how much longer is he even playing for?
Do you want to risk losing him for nothing? Now, maybe he'll take a very friendly discounted deal at the end of his career. Chara did for a while. Ultimately, he left, but Chara did for a while. Bergeron did.
Although, I don't know. Think they probably went to him this offseason for some kind of friendly deal?
Yeah, so this is
I don't know that to be
he
true.
He might do that. He might care about staying in Boston. I don't know. The Bruins probably have better insight on that. I don't know. Maybe he would want to do that, or maybe you're risking losing him for nothing. So there's that on top of it, too. Like, you can't trade your captain. Okay, but what if he walks in the offseason and goes and signs somewhere else, and now you've lost him for nothing?
Oh, we should have traded him. Oh, but everybody told us not to. They said he couldn't do it.
We screwed that one up.
I also don't understand the people that are that confident they are going to make the playoffs. Like, we had a couple text lines in. They're like, guys, they're going to make a wild card.
Okay.
Like, are they?
Let's also say they do. Okay. Do you expect them to beat anybody once they get there?
Unlikely.
Okay, so I don't.
Unlikely.
Let's say
even when they were good, they wouldn't beat anybody in the playoffs. Now they're not good, and they're supposed to beat people in the playoffs.
Are they? Wait, hang on. Are they pitted to match up against the Maple Leafs?
No, they're pitted to match up against nobody because they're not in yet.
Well, okay, but I'm saying if they got in,
no, it would be probably the Capitals.
They would be getting the Capitals. That's correct. So you'd avoid Florida if you were the wild card too. Anyway, you'd be getting the Capitals.
But those are all very close.
They've done really well against the Capitals in the playoffs too.
Yep.
Say it again.
Historically, they've done great against the Capitals.
Brandon Holtby's long gone.
Yeah,
so that scares me. It scares me a little less. But okay, that would be your matchup. That's better than Florida, but it ain't Toronto. If you were somehow pitted against Toronto, I would say, yeah, get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Short of that, it's like, all right, you make the playoffs to what end? I understand the sport. I get how it works. Teams can go on runs. I do understand that. Do you really believe that if this team sneaks in by the skin of their teeth at the end of the year, they add at the trade deadline and they sneak in, do you really think this team's going to go on any run? I don't, no. But I guess we'll see on that front. So you can jump in here, 617-779-7937, all your Bruins conversation, a reminder as well. WEEI's coverage of football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. Nobody does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. We'll get back into the NFL postseason. We'll get back into Drake May at the Pro Bowl. I think that's scheduled for the grab bag.
Sure.
If
is.
I heard that properly.
It's in there. Don't worry. All the Drake May fans out there, we'll get to it.
It is a Friday.
Oh, what could it be?
Which means we have some very special keys on the program today. No game this weekend, Keith.
Or is there one of the great sporting events of the calendar year, Saturday night, Royal Rumble?
a Royal Rumble Keys.
I'm legit excited for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. What we'll be getting into at 1 o'clock here on Jones and Keith. Rumble Keys. Stay tuned
Rumble
for those.
Keys.
And coming up next, it's the Week in Review.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel them out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan, we're going.
And worst...
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Oh, what a week it has been here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. A lot of stuff to get to. And actually, it really started off on kind of a dangerous foot, like a kind of a rock. You might not even remember this, Jones. We had an earthquake on Monday.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
I felt like we were in the Bay Area.
Yeah, very dangerous.
But we got a lot of texts, a lot of tweets about it. And so we were on during an earthquake, apparently. Maybe you guys can buy some T-shirts. You know, I survived the earthquake.
Survived the earthquake of 2025.
January 2025.
Here you go.
What an event.
Text line. Earthquake off the coast of York, Maine. Okay. That's not here.
It's a 4.1,
It's not that
Jones.
Far, in fairness. We felt it in Maine, felt it in New Hampshire, 4.1 in York Harbor.
4.1, decent size.
Here you go. Huge rumble and boom in southeast New Hampshire. Yeah, no, 4.1 is...
4.1, not bad.
I mean...
4.1 when it's this cold out?
Yeah.
You're doing all right.
5, 6, 7 would be crazy.
Hey, that's insane.
But a 4.1 is pretty
not
wild.
Not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. Eddie's in the car. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you? Two things. It was back in the 80s. That I was up in York Beach, Maine, laying in a bed up there, and the bed started shaking. They had an earthquake.
Oh, yeah, it did. Eddie. Hell yeah, Eddie.
Hell yeah.
That's right, Eddie. My man.
I really did.
And now I got kids.
It really did happen, and I was there.
Amazing. Amazing earthquake talk, even one from years and years ago. Of course, we weren't the only show talking about earthquakes.
Oh.
The next morning, the Greg Hill Show.
Oh.
They were talking about it a little bit as well.
Should we be worried about aftershock?
Yeah.
I mean, you should be. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure you had a lot of anxiety when you heard we had an earthquake yesterday.
I've never felt one, so when I got the text from Santo, who's not in Boston right now, asking if I had felt it, I was kind of bummed that I didn't.
Oh,
but
I thought you said what you normally said when he asked that question, which is no.
Oh!
I'm sorry. You know what? If you could just not, I can't resist.
It's slow. It's like, so just, easy.
Right. It's Greg's problem.
I just can't. It's a problem I have.
Yeah.
And not. I can't really say too much because next week, of course, Keith V. Cox is going to take place. So Alan Jackson,
the country artist.
No, the defense attorney.
Right.
High-powered defense attorney, Karen Reed and others, is going to be on the Greg Hill Show. And he's also going to represent me in Energy Drink Gate.
So he's spending his time on that as well?
Correct.
That's good.
Yep.
That's good.
Well, my name has been sullied, and he is going to, I think, fix that for me. I think.
Nice. Now, is this going to
be... the best in the business, this guy.
Is us playing clips like that, is that going to come up in court in any way, shape, or form?
I'm certainly not going to tell him how to do his job.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of evidence Courtney's going to have.
Yep.
Because if she's just... relying on the fact that I admitted it.
Now, is she bringing...
There was a confession and video evidence.
Well, she's just relying on that. She's got no chance.
There's evidence of Keith with an energy drink.
Correct.
Maybe not the energy... I said too much.
I'm excited to find out how it goes.
Now, is Courtney going to have representation at this?
See, that I don't know. She
is
might
she representing herself?
She could.
Okay.
She might choose to represent herself.
Okay.
And then she's going to have to answer a lot of questions.
You do have the right to an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I sure do. Well, I actually have more you than her. I guess.
Sure do.
Yeah.
So that'll be Wednesday. So we'll have more on that as it goes on.
Excellent.
All right. We were also talking about Tier Tuesday this week. We did halftime shows since the Patriots' first Super Bowl win. So it was like 23 or so halftime shows. And we, of course, threw them in a tier. You can find that on at Jones and Keefe Twitter and Instagram right now.
All right. Super Bowl 38. Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, P. Diddy, Nelly, Kid Rock, Jessica Simpson.
Oh, that's hot. I like that.
So that's not suitable for work?
NYSF.
Yeah. This,
not
no doubt.
Safe for work.
Yeah.
This was one where I remember watching it in a buddy's room in college, and this was pre-DVR, this is pre-all that stuff, at least on the TVs that we had in there. And it was like, I want to say me and like another buddy saw it, and like another three didn't, and
Keith.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure, and they're like, no way.
Keith, I was like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme.
I'm like,
Areola!
Yes!
And but then it was such a...
Yes!
It was such another time.
I was like, what is on it?
No, no.
That was also confusing.
But it went by so quick, you didn't even know. Piercing.
Yeah.
So
the big, like, sun-like piercing.
It was such another time.
Yes.
Yes. Best Super Bowl ever.
If that was
this, maybe the GOAT.
Okay, if that was now,
the
Keith,
GOAT?
5 seconds later, that picture would be all over social media.
It'd be Twitter. It'd be
then
all over Twitter.
You're just like, I think I saw something, but I don't even know. Yeah. And then you didn't even really know until, like, hours later after the game where it became a big story.
Oh, man.
It was another time.
A lot of kids became men that day.
Burned in
I'll never forget it. I bought every one of her albums. Do we actually put it in GOAT and not safe for work?
If you want to. Put that in GOAT.
Had a big impact on society.
It did.
It really did.
Huge. And then that opened the door to about 8 years of Safe Olds hosting or performing at halftime.
Yeah, it's true. It was so weird. You didn't even know it really happened until hours and hours later. You thought you saw it, but you weren't sure. It's like a comet.
I think we have a new sympathetic figure in Boston sports. Oh. Goes by the name of Joe Sacco. This poor guy trying to answer questions about his team.
I think we have a new one, Nick. We had the Mayo groan. We now have the Sacco sigh.
Like, add it to the catalog.
Like, my favorite thing, too, is he kind of like started to talk, and then he's like,
it's like, be a head coach, they said. It'd be fun, they said. Take over the team, they said.
Every time, Katzla, every time I see the credit card statement every month, Joe Sacco, how does it look? It's just like
Sacco sigh.
Oh my God.
Hey, can you go? Can you take Lucas to the grocery store? We need something. Like, that's exactly how I feel. That's the full on embodiment of the Bruins season. Is that
so
right
you
there?
You sit on the couch. Like, can you give me some water? Like. I was literally standing by the fridge just a moment ago.
I was just in there.
Okay.
But you need me to get you water.
Yep.
Okay.
You're actually closer to the water than I am, but I'll get it.
It is amazing how much
that's how.
I think that's how we all feel about the Bruins nowadays.
Yeah, you're right. That does sum it up.
We're all Joe Sacco.
It's
amazing how much that comes up. I was just in the kitchen.
I was just there.
But it's fine. I don't even say anything anymore. It's just like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's just part of the deal.
It may be a sigh.
No real word. No audible words.
Yeah, maybe like an eye. A sigh might even be too much noise. You might just want to hit that with an eye roll.
Yeah,
where she can't hear it, but you did it.
What was that?
Nothing.
No.
What? I didn't sigh.
You didn't
hear that.
Well, yesterday was a pretty big day here at WEEI as it was picture day. It was team picture day. Everybody was getting their photos done. We went upstairs into a new like break room, which I'd never been in before.
I'd never even been in that part of the building. I'm not joking. No. I've worked in this building many years over my career in different installments. I never even been to that part of the
kind of fun.
Yeah.
Terp took a little bit of video of us while we're getting it done, so you can find that on our Instagram. And the hot new photos haven't been released yet, so those bad boys, but just know they're on their way.
Yeah.
Just know they're coming. But that also led us, this is Billy's idea, to throw some old school pictures at us. So we had school pictures from me and you. I was definitely second grade. You think that looked
maybe? I was something like that. Second, third grade, yeah.
Billy had one of him in a backyard.
Yep. Peeking out.
And then Terp had one as well. Nick decided to stay away from it. Nick was like, I'm not going to be a part of this. So, all right. Yeah, and actually, Terp's putting some of the footage of us getting our pictures taken.
Yeah, I saw, my wife was showing. I don't have Instagram.
Good arms crossed.
She's got a
very natural picture with Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, there's Keith with Sabrina.
Yeah, and then Billy.
Look how happy those two are. That happy couple.
That is prom 2025 is what that is.
So not bad. So those will be hitting at some point, I would assume. But we were talking about it, and we were talking about the second grade pictures yesterday.
Yes.
So Billy's is behind a tree.
I like that.
That's not a school picture, though.
Was that a natural instinct, or was that where the camera people?
No, it wasn't. That was literally a photo, I think, in my grandmother's backyard.
I like that one. Terp's got a golf shirt on. That's probably first grade, you think?
Terp's parents absolutely dressed him for that.
That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. He's a young gun.
Like, Jones has got the what appears to be a Georgia Tech sweatshirt and or mock turtleneck.
Like, I think it is
so
like
random,
a,
Georgia.
I think it's like a mock turtleneck. It's a Georgia Tech shirt. You can't quite see it, but it is a Georgia Tech shirt. Key's right about
that's probably the...
It's like a mock turtleneck.
That's probably the year that Lethal Weapon 3 was tearing up the ACC with Kenny Anderson.
Good point.
Dennis Scott and Brian Oliver.
That was going to be my next question. There's got to be somebody on that team that he loved. That
I don't know why I wore that shirt. My parents didn't know it was picture day is my guess because that's what that looks like. Like Terp's parents had him ready. I'm guessing my parents had no idea it was picture day and sent me to school in that. That's me. And then, Keith, you're wearing your Dream Team shirt.
That is a Dream Team cartoon caricature shirt. So you can see the face of Larry Bird there, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson. I got the
Lasers background, the only year I had the Lasers background, so it's my favorite photo.
Uh-huh.
You can see my hair's kind of grown out, but I had the lines in the side of my head. Like I
knew it.
Vanilla Ice. I was the lines in the side of the
I
head.
I said it to Nick. I was like, I wonder if he's got tracks.
Wait.
I had lines.
I didn't even notice that.
Yep. The handsome little devil back then.
It's a good look.
I know what the hell happened. You know what it was? IPAs.
You ain't got to do it.
Ruins the body, ruins the face, the skin.
Well, I'll tell you, people are commenting now on the behind-the-scenes images. Number one, Keef with some new white sneakers for a school picture today. Those things were real nice looking.
Icy whites.
Yeah, they
those
popped.
Are Jordans. Yeah.
Those popped.
No, I've actually had those a little while. I haven't had a chance to break them in because it's been so like slushy and sleety around here.
We got salty. We got Pizza Train saying Jones has some junk in the trunk, which is true. That'll be the IPAs as
you got
well.
A hockey player, Keister.
And then also this. This I've not heard before. Dubs 985, forget who said it, but Jones looks like the kid from Elf and I can't unsee it.
The kid from Elf? Oh, we'll have to side by side that.
I'm sorry. I was thinking the kid from Elf, duh. Actually
not Will Ferrell.
No, I can see that. But no, I don't know why I was thinking this. It clearly said Elf. I was thinking Bad Santa. I was thinking Thurman Merman. I was like,
No.
I don't see that one. Sorry, the kid from Elf, I actually, in his like his Wayne Corbett jersey, I can see that.
You actually do look like that
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, now that
kid
now,
version, yep, lines, that tracks. No, not Thurman Merman. How much lettuce do you want?
Can I fix you some sandwiches? okay. So there is that that's the full week of
that's
review?
That's it, man. That's the week of review.
What a week
last
here.
Week of January 2025.
Nice.
Where's the time go?
617-779-7937. You can jump back in line. And it is a Friday, which means we have Keith's keys to a giant, massive sporting event. No, not the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Keith's keys to the Royal Rumble. That's next.